Starting at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive, and in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how is it to happen to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, now is this time that all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down the rulers of their thrones, and he has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. I want to cover with you today 5 points that we can take from this lesson today. I have to admit, when I was assigned this lesson, I'm thinking, let's talk for 35 minutes about Mary. We don't put a lot of emphasis on Mary, do we, in our churches? You know, obviously we know that other religions that place a very high emphasis on Mary. You know, she was the mother of God, right? She was very special. Perhaps even to some a level of deity. We don't pray to Mary. We don't have this level of deity that's placed upon her, and we'll cover some of that. But there's 5 key points here that I think we can apply to our hearts that we can see from Mary and why God chose her to be this vessel. The first was that Mary was chosen. That's the first point. Mary was chosen. Verse 30 said, "The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" You found favor with God. God chose her. God chose Mary and delivered that message to her through the angel Gabriel. She was chosen as a virgin who demonstrated the heart and humility that God desired for the earthly mother that would deliver Jesus into the world that he was come to save. So she was chosen. She was special. But I thought, how do I apply that to us here? Well, we're chosen too. Now, we're not chosen to bear the Savior's birth, but to carry His message and the love to the world. God chose us for salvation. God chose us to be the vessel to carry Christ's love and message to the world. So Mary was chosen to deliver Him to the world. We're chosen to be His message to the world. If we look at John chapter 15, verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go after and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give to you." God chose us. Chose us, and He appointed us that we would go and bear fruit, have evidence of our lives, of who He is, the evidence of His love, of His forgiveness for all mankind. Ephesians chapter 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him." Just as He chose us. When? Chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. See, Mary was chosen to bring Christ into the world, to be the mother, earthly mother of Jesus, not because she was deity, not because she was God, because she was special and she was chosen. And we're going to look at some of those attributes that Mary had. But we too are chosen to deliver that message, to embody Christ in our lives, to show the world His love and His forgiveness. Second point I want to have you look at today. God works with those who demonstrate humility. That's how we know the right attitude a person should have that God is going to choose. So Mary demonstrated humility. We see this in verse 38 again. Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may be done to me according to your word." This idea of being a bondslave, that's a person that's choosing to stay in servanthood. Okay, a bondslave, choosing to be in the situation that they're in to serve their master willingly. A lifelong sentence that they're committing to. That's humility. Humility is somebody that is putting somebody else before themselves. Being asked to do something with no regard to personal gain or consequence. A bondslave. Humility. Mary demonstrated this. We can also see in verse 48, For he has had regard for the humble state of the bondslave. In her proclamation, clearly God inspired, she acknowledged that she is in humble state. Meaning that not just in her personality or attitude, but in her life status. She was not from royalty or wealth. Her family was simple and perhaps average at that. So I think the point we can take here is that God uses the willing and even the average, right? This humble state. It didn't come to a king for Christ to come into the world. It didn't come to some wealthy family for Christ to come into the world. It came in the humble heart, the humble status. So demonstrating humility is something that we need to demonstrate as well for God to use us. For God to use us as a vessel, we too must demonstrate humility in our lives. 1 Peter 5:1-5, "Younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." How can we demonstrate and gain humility? Well, we clothe ourselves with humility. Clothe ourselves with humility. That is, our entire life and our being must demonstrate humility. Like covering everything that we do with humility. The humility to love. The humility to put others first. The humility to do God's will and calling regardless of the effect on our lives and our agenda. See, Mary gave up everything to be humble and to be obedient. She gave all up all normality of her life. She was betrothed for marriage. That's in the Jewish context, she was already married, but a year of purity had to take place of 12 months. So it was a done deal. And now all of a sudden, you're going to have a baby. The humility to do God's will, and no matter what the cost. The humility to understand that God has a purpose and a bigger plan, regardless of the effect on our lives. Clothing ourselves in such humility that others do not even see us, but instead they, when they look at us, they see Christ, right? That's to be clothed in humility. We know that God opposes the proud, right? There are many passages in the Bible that address pride. Pride that divides families. Pride is what divides churches. Pride gets in the way of all kinds of things, right? The initial and great sin against God, what is the sin that took down Satan and a third of the angels, was what? Pride, right? Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Could continue on, talk about how pride can just break down and really deviate from God's plan. But the lesson we've learned here that we can see from Mary and that we need to have in our own lives is humility, not pride. When humility is found in the person that God can choose and use for His will and His purpose. James 4:6 tells us, God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to the humble. James 4:10, humble yourselves then in the presence of the Lord and He will exalt you. Again, humility. I think this is one of the biggest lessons that I take away from what we're talking about this morning. And that is, do I have pride in my life? Or do I demonstrate humility? In order to demonstrate humility, I have to put myself last. I have to put others first. More importantly, I have to put God first and what He wants me to do. And I think that's, when I look at Mary at such a young age, because I guess the Bible doesn't specifically tell us her age, but we can suspect that she was, what, 14, 15 years old? Maybe 16? To be given such a task. To humbly recognize, okay, Lord, I'm your bond slave. Whatever you're asking me to do, I'm going to do. As far-fetched as this sounds, I'm going to do it. That's humility. That's humbleness. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Raise your hand here if you need God's grace. I'm hoping everybody raises their hand, at least not in your heart, physically raised your hand. Because if you didn't, we need to talk after church. Everyone should have raised their hand. We all need God's grace. Grace is getting something that we don't deserve. That's God's riches and eternal life with Him. Only because Jesus came and paid the price for our salvation, we're given that grace. Getting something we don't deserve. We must demonstrate humility to receive God's grace. Third point I'm going to give you. Mary is not and was not deity. She was the chosen vessel that God used. Let's go back to a couple of these verses. In verse 28, and coming in, He said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. She was definitely special. She was favored. She was chosen. Verse 30 tells us, and the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. She was a very special vessel that God was going to use. The favored one. Anyone that is chosen by God, especially for such a task as bringing Christ in the world, is favored. Is special. But let's be clear, this honorable calling and request was not in of itself without its consequences. So maybe she was favored and she heard these. And we read that she had a ponder in her heart. What did this mean, the favored one? Well, the consequences that came along with it was pretty heavy. Mary was betrothed. We talked about that. that is a promise of marriage and a contract with Joseph, so it's as if they were already married. The formality of the wedding festival had not been completed. And yet she was a virgin, right? And having a pregnant fiancé or bride-to-be meant scandal and punishment. That's what it meant. So how does that come across as being favored? Right? The marriage contract, as I mentioned to you, at this point, though they physically hadn't consummated the marriage, according to Jewish law and practices, they were married. And they would remain pure for 12 months until the official wedding ceremony. So being pregnant would carry with it great punishment and great scandal. The law says in Leviticus chapter 20, if there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. So according to the law that they followed, Mary should be killed for being pregnant. Right? Understand now, if Joseph isn't the father, then it must be adultery. And if it's adultery, then she has to be killed. Right? That's the law. That's the law. I think interestingly here is that under God's perfect law, Mary was not guilty of anything. Adultery was the sin that led to death. But Mary didn't commit adultery. Under God's perfect plan and His sovereignty, Mary was able to conceive through the work of the Holy Spirit, making her free from the penalty of God's law. So even in God's perfect plan, she wasn't guilty of anything. However, the world didn't see it that way, did they? The friends and the family and that community didn't see it that way. Even Joseph had a hard time recognizing it. But I can't talk about Joseph. That's next week. Right? All right, so Mary was special. Mary was not deity. It's important to understand that Mary was not God's wife. Mary was not an angel. Mary was not deity. She was born as a sinful person, as we all are, that needed salvation and God's mercy and grace. Just like you and me. But she was special. Mary was pure. She was humble. She accepted the worthy of God's calling. She was faithful, even though it potentially jeopardized her engagement and potential whole life. She faithfully stayed the course. And Mary was spirit-filled. And I'm going to say she was almost prophetic here, because we're going to read here the proclamation that she had. Mary said, this is back in Luke chapter 1, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and he has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." It's a great proclamation. We're going to cover some of the verses in this in a moment. But I think it's important to understand, even through this, Mary recognized that she needed a Savior. In verse 47, she acknowledged God as her Savior. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." If she was deity, she wouldn't say that, right? So we can't elevate her to that level. Okay? She acknowledged that herself as being lost and needing salvation. Verse 48. "From this time on, all generations will count me blessed." This supports the awesome gift of Christ for the world and truly blessed Mary, and that she was part of that, and she recognized that. She had a gift that she was able to give to the world, but maybe she didn't even grasp it then. And here's the prophetic part, starting in verse 50. and His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear Him. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent them away empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, His servants, in remembrance of His mercy. And He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. This idea that she understood that Christ was coming to the world and Christ was coming to make all things new. He was going to kind of turn things upside down. All the things that we expect. Those that are rich are going to be empty-handed. Those that are powerful are going to be weak. He was changing things. And this is the prophetic part, I think, that Mary, God brought through the Holy Spirit to Mary to say. All right, the fourth point. Mary had great faith. She had faith in what the angel told her, and she acted. She acted upon it. Verse 39 of Luke chapter 1. Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to the city of Judea, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. You know, finding that what the angel told her as truth probably reinforced her faith. You know, so Gabriel comes and he gives her this message. She's perplexed by it. Okay, I'm going to have a kid, and he's going to be God, and I'm not even married yet, and I'm a virgin. How's this all going to work out? And he says, but your cousin is pregnant. God is that good. In her old age, she's going to conceive and have a child. So her faith in action was what? Hurry and go and see. Let me go see Elizabeth. If I can see that Elizabeth is pregnant, it's going to reinforce that this is not just something I'm making up. Her faith in action, her faith to go. Elizabeth confirmed Mary's faith. Verse 45, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Elizabeth says that right away when Mary comes in. Blessed is she who believed. Mary, you're here because you believe what the Gabriel angel told you. You believe what God's going to fulfill in your life. You believe that the Son of God is coming to earth to save all mankind. Because you're here. Blessed is she who believed. Fifth point. Mary was and is blessed among all women. Remember growing up, I come from a little bit of a different background. Most of you know that. So my mom was raised Catholic, right? And a lot of Catholic traditions, and I still have aunts and uncles, obviously, that are in the Catholic Church. But I remember Dad telling us early on that somehow we have to find this balance. Because the non-Catholic Christian world takes Mary to this far extreme of really not even recognizing. And then the Catholic world kind of elevates her too high. Right? So there's got to be a balance here because the Bible says she was blessed. Right? She was special. And I always thought about that over the years. And Mary was blessed. We see this in multiple verses. Verse 28. Greetings, favored one. Being favored. Verse 30. Angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor. Again, this being favored, being blessed. In verse 42, she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. That's Elizabeth saying, blessed are you. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Recognizing that she was special. Verse 45. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment on what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Blessed is Mary for recognizing and having the faith to believe it. And then the last verse 48. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondservant, Mary says, for behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. I think it's true. Mary was blessed. Blessed among all women. Blessed to do something that was very special. Something that was amazing. A gift to all mankind. Okay, I'm going to leave you with a few takeaway points. First one, Mary was chosen by God to bear the Son of the Savior of the world. She was chosen. She didn't choose it. She was chosen. God chose her. God chose her because of who she was and what she, her state and her status and her humility and her faith, and knew what she could do for all mankind through raising of Jesus. Second, God works with those who demonstrate humility. Mary had humility, God worked with her. We need to have humility, God will work through us. God works with those who demonstrate humility. Thirdly, Mary is not and was not deity. She was a vessel that God used, a very special vessel. She was pure, a virgin, she was humble. We talked about pride can disqualify, right? She was worthy, that means she accepted and was faithful to the call. Right. There she was faithful, jeopardizing this engagement. She stuck with it anyhow. And I think she was prophetic in the things that she had to say. We can see that God uses us as his vessels today to carry the life of his Son and his love to the lost world. We're that vessel today. We've been asked to do that. To carry the life and the love of Jesus Christ to those in this world, those that we touch. We can see that Mary also needed a Savior. She needed a Savior just like we need a Savior. And finally, Mary is and was blessed among all women, but she was still just human, like each of us, right? I think we can also follow Mary's example this Christmas season. As we reflect on the miracle of Jesus' birth, remember that the many involved in his gift to the world, including Mary, were God's chosen vessels. And we too, as recorded in Luke chapter 2, as Mary proclaimed, she treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. We can treasure these things. We can ponder them in our heart. Will you treasure and ponder Christ as your Savior? Will you honor him with your life and be the vessel he has chosen to carry his message, his life, and his love to the world? I think that's the question we should be asking today. A special number to close.
Bow down, come last. Oh God, what a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord, worshiping the true Holy One. Lord, we thank you for the message that you brought through Brother Jim.